I've been fascinated by studying about Jesus for the last couple of weeks, and I was telling the congregation last week that sometimes you can get so caught up studying about the epistles and looking at Old Testament topics that you kind of lose focus on some of the simple things the miracles of Jesus, the way that Jesus thought, the way that Jesus lived. And I was reminded and kind of made a vow to myself not to forget about the teachings of Jesus. And as I was talking to a good brother about that, he reminded me of some of the apostles' writings. Like in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, "I determined to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified." And so the apostles went out, and guess what they were preaching? They were preaching Christ. And so I want us to be talking about that for a few minutes on tonight as we go into our study. Usually on fourth Sunday, we have a Q&A. Let me encourage us that we need to put some questions in the box. Need questions in the box. It's no way that you can study God's word or read it on a daily basis and not have questions. And so hopefully that's not saying that we're not reading. Or maybe we're reading, but just not putting the questions in. Let's put those questions in and give us, as gospel teachers and preachers, elders here, the responsibility and the encouragement to study those out and give a brief answer on some of those questions. For the next few weeks, at least the next three, I want us to be considering some of the teachings of Jesus. Let's look at John 6. John 6, one of the brothers said last week, said, "Man, you love that John 6. There's a lot in there. There's a lot in John 6 for us to glean and to grasp and to really encourage ourselves with." And so the first thing I want us to consider is John 6, verses 1 through 14. I'm going to ask Brother Brian, if he will, to stand up and lift up his voice and read verses 1 through 7, 1 through 7, and then have Brother Estes read 8 through verse 14.
"After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?' But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a meal.'"
All right, thank you. Brother Estes.
"One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?' Then Jesus said, 'Make the people sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost.' Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which was left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.'"
All right, great. Great job. Appreciate that, both of y'all. All right, a few things. Sister text as it relates to John chapter 6, verses 1 through verse number 14 can be found in Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 33, if you're taking notes, and Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through verse 44. Now, that's important because we're going to be looking at a little bit of both of those, because it's like anything. A good investigator is going to take all of the information before they draw a conclusion. The last thing you want to do is read one pericope, one section of scripture, and then begin drawing conclusions when this particular incident is located in different areas. And I guarantee you, you'll find some other things. Now, it's not our aim to exhaust those on tonight, but I do want us to consider some things. All right, a few things. We find Jesus, and he is in the upper coast of Palestine, the Sea of Galilee, and is also known as the Sea of Tiberias. Okay, and notice who is following him, a great multitude. And the reason why is stated, because they saw the signs, or his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. Now, that's important. They saw some of the things that Jesus did previously. And so, keep in mind, what's the purpose for miracles? Mark 16, verse 20. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. The purpose of miracles is to confirm the word, but also to confirm the messenger. And so here you have Jesus, and he is performing these miracles. They're astonished. They're amazed. They're marveling at this great man of Almighty God. Verse 3. And Jesus went up on a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Okay, he sat with his disciples. Now, the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near, so it was coming. When did Jesus institute the Passover? This Bible study. When did God institute the Passover? I can't hear that. Okay, Exodus. Exodus what? Exodus what? Exodus 12. Okay, so you have Exodus 12. God is instituting the Passover. The Passover consisted of a male, a sheep, or a lamb, and it was supposed to be 1 year old without blemish, and they was to take that male lamb, they was to kill that male lamb, take the blood, put it over the doorpost. When God saw the blood, he would do what? Passover. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse number 7, the Bible demonstrates to us that Christ is our what? Passover. Okay? All right, so here we see that they're about to keep the Passover. It's the Feast of the Jews. Verse number 5, then Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming toward him. He said to Philip, now watch this, friends. This is why we have to stay in tune with Jesus. This is why we have to continue to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because if we don't, we'll lose focus on the great works that he did. And we will begin to diminish in our, if I could say it this way, in our amazement of Jesus. Okay? In our amazement of Jesus. He says, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what? Jesus knew what he was going to do. But he's doing this. He asked this question to test him. Where are we going to buy food for these? How many people were here, if you will? About how many? 5,000. And that's just what? That was just men. Okay? Now, we can prove that here. Look at verse 10. Watch this. Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. The word for people in the Greek is the Greek word anthropos. Anytime you have a multitude of people, let's say you have 7,000 women. If there's one man in that group, the Greeks would always put it in a multiplicity type way. It would always go to a crowd, a multitude. But if it was just men, then you would see the Greek word aner. Okay, aner. Why? Because just men there. Here we see, if we can just read it, and we'll insert the Greek word there for our benefit. Then Jesus said, make the anthropos sit down. Make the multitude sit down. That's men and women. But then he says, now there was much grass in the place. So the aner sat down in number of about 5,000. Okay, so about 5,000 men sat down. Now, when we think about this, let's go back up and let's look at verse number 7. I just want to make that point there. Verse number 7 and 8, we see Philip's response to what Jesus asked, okay? He says, Philip answered him 200 denarii. Now, let's ask this question. How much payment was a denarii at this particular time? A day's wage. Now, notice what he says. 200 days of work worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. So in other words, Philip is saying, there's no way for us to feed all of these people. Even if we had 200 days of food, we couldn't even feed all these people. Now, this is when we just read in verse number 10 about Jesus having the people sit down. These were the men. In verse number 11, notice, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had did what? Now, maybe this is how my mind works, okay? We have different types of minds in here, and that's the beauty of having so many different ministers here and different men and sisters that can dissect the word of God. But I guess this is how my mind works. Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Here we have the parallel passage or parallel pericope, section of scripture of what we're looking at in John chapter 6. Okay? Let's start at verse number 37. Mark chapter 6, verse 37. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So when they sat down in ranks of 150, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, what did Jesus do that Luke didn't bring out or John didn't bring out? What did Jesus do? Say again. He blessed it, but what did he do before that? He looked up, and then he blessed it, and then he broke it, and then he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. Now, you're like, well, that's a meager point. I don't mean it. It means a lot. Why does that point mean a lot?
Because that's what we should do.
All right, that's what we should do. Okay, what else? Yes, yes. So the direction of thanks was given to who? Now keep in mind that he's only working with 5 fish and what? 2 loaves. So whoever's going to bless them, 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Thank you. So God was going to be the one that's going to be blessing this situation. It wasn't going to be the multitude, which means that the feeding of the 5,000 and the rest of the multitude wasn't going to be based upon the people, but it was going to be based upon who? God. Now, remember when the children of Israel were brought out of Egyptian bondage and God was bringing them to the wilderness, and God had manna, what is it, to rain down from heaven, how often? Every day. And so God was feeding his people. Friends, don't miss this point, because Brother Brian, this is feeding right into Jesus being the bread of life. So we can't be missing these points. And when I started looking at that and thinking about that, I'm like, oh, wow. And these are things that I know I've read 50 times at least. But sometimes, talking about myself maybe, we can kind of lose focus on what he actually did and focus on other things. Got to always stay focused on him. Yes, sir, Brother Royce.
Mark, this is also a teaching moment for the people that he was directing their minds to who was going to bring this.
That's right.
Not just the fact that God's going to be more surprised. He's directing the people to that idea, to
that's
the
right.
Stuff
that
happened.
That's right.
So it's dual teaching mode, I guess.
And one thing I love about what Mark brings out that John didn't record, John says he had given thanks. Mark gives a little bit more information that causes us to be a little bit more inquisitive and like, wow, yeah, okay. He looked up, he blessed it, he broke it, and then gave. All right, any other comments? Brother Don, did you want to say something?
Yeah, you kind of go back to what John said first. He said five small loaves.
That's right.
Barley bread doesn't provide. He promised back to you after tea. It's not a whole lot of food, but Jesus fed 5,000 plus.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Amen. Brother Eric, thank you, brother.
Jesus, all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's like an example for us to be on the study.
That's right. That's right. That's good. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right, go back to John 6. Yes, sir. Brian. Right. And it's very interesting because now barley loaves, no yeast, nothing rising. What was coming? What was near, according to verse number 4 of John 6? Passover. Passover. No yeast. Okay? No yeast. Good points, Brother Royce and also Brother Don. Thank you. All right, go back to John 6. Go back to John 6. In John 6, so he distributes to the disciples to those who are sitting down, and likewise of the fish, verse number 11, as much as they wanted, as much as they wanted. I love this about God, because he wanted to make sure that they were full. He wanted to make sure that they were full. He wanted to make sure that they were full. Y'all know where I'm going? Say again. Okay, okay. Any scripture come to mind? Yes, which one? Blessed are they that thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? You're going to get as much as you want. I mean, just your mind just start thinking and thinking, be like, those fundamental doctrines and teachings that Jesus is teaching is so simple, at least for me, to get away from that. I need to stay close to Jesus in his teachings. That's where the success is, friends. The success is in the teachings of Christ. Okay? That's where the success is. Now, notice what the Bible says in verse 12. So when they were filled, I believe, Brian, look that word up. I think it's the Greek word pleirao, pleirao, if I'm not mistaken. Is it right? What's that word? What's the root on that? Okay. Okay, I'll look it up later. The very most? Okay. All right. All right. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, now notice this, gather up the fragments, the small pieces, if you will, that remain so that nothing is lost. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse number 9. Remember, Jesus, he kept the law. He knew the teachings of the old system. Matthew, Proverbs 18, verse number 9. Proverbs 18 and verse number 9. Don, do you have that one? Proverbs 18, 9? Proverbs 18, 9. Look at that passage there. It's a great principle that we can apply even to our lives, and we see a great deal of it today, what does that say? That's fine. Take your time, Brother Darby. All right. I believe one translation says a great what? Waster. A great waster. One thing that Jesus was not going to be was a great waster. Okay? And so this is a good little principle. You know, after a while, you get to teaching your children that they need to eat the food that's on their plate. Well, you don't want to put too much on there because you put them in a position that they're going to be wasting. You don't want to do that. So you give them a little bit, and if they want some more, you give them a little bit more. Well, you think about how much food we waste. How about how much time we waste? Yeah, I waste a lot of time. It's embarrassing. Working on it. We don't want to be great wasters. Jesus says, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is what? Lost. Nothing is lost. We learn a lot from Jesus in this particular text. Brother Royce, did you want to say something? Okay. Verse 13. And notice the obedience to what Jesus said. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves and were left over, which were left over by those who had eaten. Now, notice, 12 baskets. Now, we could do a little play on words here. 12 baskets, 12 disciples. I don't know about that. I mean, you could say that. But what does it tell us about this great miracle? What did they start off with? Not even one basket. What did they start off with, friends? 5 loaves and 2 fish. And look what they were left off with. And watch this. Go to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. We quote verse 9 all the time, and rightfully so. Last book of the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 10. We know a man will rob God, verse 8. Okay? Verse number 10, he says, bring all the tithes. That's 10%, if you will. And really, tithes go up almost 30% into the storehouses, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this. Say the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessing that there will not be room enough to what? Receive. Now that's Old Testament principle. God's taking care of his people even in the Old Testament. Well, hold on. God takes care of us in the New Testament. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 through 8. Mark 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Verse 8 is so rich, so rich. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, what does that say?
But this I say, who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having
sufficiency,
in all things, you may have an abundance for every good work.
Now, 6 through 8, good, good. What do we learn from verse 8? What will God do for us? Make all grace abound. The grace that he's talking about here is the idea of giving. Okay? Giving. What happens when one gives grudgingly or out of necessity? Are they really giving out of the right heart? You think they're really going to give God what they should be giving? No. No, not at all. God is able, notice, according to the verse, and Paul is saying this by inspiration, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. This is individual. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You know, the church was created under good works, Ephesians 2:10. That's why God created the church. Created the church so we can be involved in good works. Jesus, Acts chapter, 17 and verse number, my mind is tired. I think it's Acts 'Cause that passage Jesus went about doing good. Oh, Acts 10, because it was dealing with Cornelius, I think. Jesus went about doing good. Yes, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God was with him. Now, here's the point. When you think of John chapter 6 and you consider all of the fragments, he said, I don't want anything to be lost. And so they pick up all of the fragments and they have 12 baskets full left over. I believe the point that God is making here is that I will take care of you if you just trust me. And really, when you think of from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 22, there's one thing that God is trying to get out of us: trust. And when you consider why don't people trust? Various reasons. All right. Look at verses 15 through 21. 15 through 21. 15 through 21. Now, this is also seen in Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 14, and also Mark's account, Mark chapter 6, 45 to 52. All right. Now, let me have Nate Scott. Let's read verse 15 through 21. 15 through 21. John 6. Stand up and lift your voice up.
Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to fall and take him by force, he departed and was not himself. Now, when bringing him to his disciples, God set up and overseed the work. And it was already dark and Jesus had not come. Then the sea arose because of the great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, not you." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land.
All right, great. Appreciate that. Now, I want us to look and see how this text is seen also. Look at Mark chapter 6, and I just want to key in on one verse, which proves that we're talking about the same section of Scripture, okay? Mark chapter 6, verse number 50, okay? Just want to pick out one little piece there that proves this. For they all saw him and were troubled, but immediately he talked with them and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Same thing that Brother Nate just read in John 6, verse 20. But also look at Mark chapter 14. Matthew 14, verse 27. Matthew 14, verse 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." So we're talking about the same episode, the same situation, okay? Now, I want us to take notice of some things that I believe is worthy of our consideration. Number one, going back to John 6 and put your markers on those others, because we'll look at some things in there. And again, all of this is leading up to Jesus talking about him being the bread of life, okay? And it's all about building faith in the minds of men, especially his own disciples, in order for them to follow him and to follow him fully. Verse 15, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come take him by force to make him king, he departed again to a mountain by himself alone. Now, what's the problem with them making him king? What's the problem with that? All right, say again. All right, that's not what Jesus wanted. Say again. All right, God is the one that makes him king. That's not what the Lord wanted. You know, that's interesting. We sing a song. What's the song? We crown him king. We can't crown Jesus king. Only God can do that. Sometimes we give ourselves too much credit. Now, I'll leave that alone. I just want to throw that out there. It's free. Gather that up. Put it in your fragments, okay? But God is the only one. And Jesus knew that. That's why he left. He left, okay? Verse number 16. Now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. Now, look at Matthew's account real quick. Look at Matthew's account. Matthew's account in verse number 23, he sends the multitude away. He sends his disciples out. He's going up to a mountain there to pray. So he's going to go spend time with the Father. Now, when evening came, he was there. He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, look at Mark's account. Look at Mark's account. Verse number 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. When the evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then, notice this. He saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Contrary wind, the wind was against them. Jesus is able to see through all of this, and he sees how they are struggling trying to keep up. Now, I don't know about you, but that just makes me feel good that Jesus was able to see all through that. And that storm, his disciples were always in his sight, even in the midst of a storm. What does that teach us about God even today? Speak up, Eric.
When we're going through trials and tribulations, he's with us.
And he sees it, right? Brethren, don't overlook these little lessons. Here, he sees them struggling, rowing, but they can't. They're struggling. And I learned years ago the Sea of Galilee, because of the depth and it being below sea level, that when the winds would come off of the mountains around the Sea of Galilee, that it was very treacherous. It was very tough. It was very rough. It was rough seas, rough waters. That's something very interesting as well. That even in the midst of the wind there and the water being thrown up and cast up, if you will, and I believe look at John 6. Look at verse 18. John 6, verse 18. I want to capitalize on a word here real quick. Then the sea arose. The sea arose. Literally in the Greek, the sea was stirred up. Why? Because a great wind was blowing. So that's that wind coming down. Brethren, this was a natural occurrence on the Sea of Galilee. Okay? And so, could it be something miraculous? I don't think so. Time and chance. All right? But we do know this, that Jesus was able to see them even as they were attempting to roll their way through it. Now, here's another lesson that I didn't consider till right now. But one thing I love about these men, they didn't allow the turbulent seas to cause them to give up. Sometimes we allow the turbulent seas of life to cause us to give up. Brethren, God still sees. He sees us. And we have to believe that. Okay? We have to believe that. Now, notice, of course, John 6 again. Verse 19, so when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, that's a long time to be rowing in the midst of a storm. Brethren, these men were fighting this thing. They wanted to get to the other side. Now, what's a good lesson for us? Somebody, what's a good lesson for us as it relates to what we just read? Okay.
He let them roll those 3 or 4 miles in trouble.
Okay. Good. He let them struggle a little bit. Okay. Good. Anyone else? That's a great point. Anyone else?
Don't lose their sight of where they're going.
Okay. All right. So they didn't lose their sight where they were going. Great. What else? All right. They was going to the other side. All right. What's the other side for us? Heaven. Heaven. We're just making application, brethren. Okay? All right, what else? Say again?
Not to give up.
Okay. You know what else?
No matter how strong.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir. You got more? No, that's good. Anna, and then Maya, and then Sister Scott. Okay. All right, good, good. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I'm sorry.
As our master and his disciples, he teaches us how our master should be cool, calm, collected under pressure, to see him watching him like that, and teach us how to pay attention to his life.
Okay. All right, good. Yes, ma'am, Donna.
That they were in it together.
All right, good. That's a great point. They were in it together. All right, anyone else? As we should be. That's a great point. Yes.
He didn't run to their aid. You know, if we follow that to its full extent and try to fix our problems every time we have one, at the end of our lives, we really wouldn't be that strong.
That's right.
Because, you know, he's always been there to fix our problems. So.
That's good. Good. Oh, go ahead.
Only wants those who strive to be become. He doesn't want someone who is more of a fair, better individual that keeps us
right.
Close to him. But he wants to see us actively strive, endure, and chase out there.
That's right. So Jesus watches them for a while. And the next thing you know, he's doing what on the water? He's walking on it. All right, so that also demonstrates to us that Jesus had power over what? Over nature. Okay, over nature. Okay? Then they see him, and they think that Jesus is a what? Some ghost, some spirit. All right, so they see some silhouette, they see something. And so they are afraid. And so Jesus comes, he talks with them. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. It's I. Don't be what? Brethren, fear has a way of driving us away from God. Okay? Now, all of us experience fear from time to time. But it's not about the fear. It's about overcoming the fear. It's about what do I do with the fear? Okay? And so when we stop and we consider this, it ought to give us great comfort that even in the midst of this great storm, we see them all working together inside of this boat. They're rowing for 3 or 4 miles. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit didn't give a specific mileage. He said 3 or 4. That's interesting. But they're laboring together, trying to get through this storm. They see a spirit, they see a ghost, they see something walking on the water. That's not normal. And it's Jesus. Yes, sir.
When I was coaching, especially kids that ran the hurdles, it was so hard for me to teach them to always look beyond that hurdle. Because hurdles in life cause us to stumble
That's right.
or stutter. And if we look beyond that hurdle, we'll clear that hurdle.
That's a great point. Yes. By the land. It was already the land. Yeah. Yeah.
The whole bottom line of it is, in other words, calm and peaceful. You know, usually gets you there because you're not with you.
That's so right.
I just imagine when you're standing there and watching.
That's right.
They all be there and don't even know it.
Amen.
You know? So that's right there.
That's a great point. Great point. Look at Mark's account real quick. And look at verse 51. Okay, this is after Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, is I, be not afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. This is where we need to be, brethren. Friends, we need to be here, and we need to stay here. We need to always be amazed at the work of God. And if we're not careful, we'll allow this world to kind of cause us not to see the work that God is doing even in our own lives. And I find it very interesting, verse 52 of Mark 6, and how Mark goes back up to the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I asked myself that, Brother Stephen, why did he do that? Why did he do that? Has there been a reason he did that? Let's read it. For they had not understood about the loaves because their hearts were hardened. Now, it didn't say they didn't believe. They say they didn't understand. But why? You know, a hard heart will position us not to understand the will of God. What causes our hearts to become hard? Pride. Say again, Eric.
Going by our own feelings.
All right. Going by our own feelings.
Sometimes we can want trials to harden
our hearts. Trials. Okay. So instead of a trial making us better, it makes us bitter. Okay. What else?
Tradition.
Hmm. Yes. Anyone else? Sir? Okay. That's right. Not continuing in the word. What else? That's a good one. That's good. Embarrassment or shame. Again, I find it very telling that Mark's account goes back up to the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And really, in the other accounts, you don't get the idea that they didn't understand. But Mark's account demonstrates that because of the hardness of their heart, they didn't understand the loaves and the fish. They didn't understand that. And so here, God is doing what with his disciples, friends? And the focus is the 12. Say again. He's working with their hearts. He's establishing their heart. He's strengthening their hearts. They had a great job in front of them that was coming. No time to be lacking faith, trust. And so here, God is teaching that, Jesus is teaching that God is the one that's supplying your needs. God is. And so he uses the 5 loaves, 2 fish. Here he used this situation concerning Jesus and him walking on the sea. Look at Matthew 14, and this is why, in verse 34 through 36, this is why you have to take your time, look at God's word, try not to be in a rush, Mike Bonner, and just let the Bible teach you, okay? But as soon as they got off the boat in verse 33, because they realized who this man was, verse 34 through 36, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesareth. Well, you don't find that in Mark's account, in John's account. You don't find that. But you find it in Matthew's account. Well, why is that significant? Because they actually got to the other side. And we know where the other side is. We know where the other side is for us. It ain't hell. It's heaven. Brethren, that's where the other side is for us. And who did they... That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. Wow. Brethren, we can't get to heaven without Jesus. Try it. Just try. You can't. No, don't try. That's right. Don't try that. Brethren, they got to the other side. And then, next week, look at John chapter 6. Next week, we'll begin looking at verse 22. Because in my Bible, I put between verse 21 and 22, Matthew 14, 34 through 36, fits right here. Fits right here. Okay? Why? Because in verse number 22, on the following day. So we have a gap in time here. Brethren, all we're doing is studying the Bible. That's what we do. We're studying the Bible. And it also demonstrates to us that God is continuing to be on the move. Jesus is continuing to be on the move. And so just as he continued to be on the move, friends, we need to continue to be on the move. But we need to do it in trust, in faith, in confidence in God, that he's the one that's providing for us. He's providing for us. And so next week we'll begin looking at Jesus, and he makes a claim. He's going to be making a claim that he's the bread from heaven. That's a strong claim. Well, let's see if he can prove it and live up to it. You know, just because a man makes a claim doesn't mean that that claim is valid. But when God makes claims, when Jesus makes claims, he proves it. Any final thoughts? Yes, sir. Is it ego a me?
I am.
Okay.
That's what gave Peter the kind of courage to say, well, then command me to come out of the water. When he said I am, it's the same thing as John chapter 8:58.
That's right.
Before Abraham was, I am.
That's right.
There was no doubt in their minds who they were talking with at that
That's right.
Zero doubt in their minds.
That's right.
And then the idea of being unafraid, don't be his broken Greek words on there.
That's right.
We get our word phobia.
That's right.
But don't be seized with fear. You know, be brave. It's me. I'm Lord. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. So, you know, you don't have to be fearful anymore. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be a coward. You come to him.
Amen. Appreciate that. Really do appreciate that point. Any final thoughts? Yes, Brother Eric.
When we're afraid, that's like darkness, like, because in him there's no darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have God in us, we're losing the faith that he is in there for us. I mean, I believe that we can focus on things and not worry about what I can't see this, but I know what I do see is that after the word, the whole church, Bible study, teaching people to show that the light of the gospel is in you.
That's right. That's right. That's good. Appreciate that. Any final thoughts? Yes.
I'm restricting you whenever we're talking about the 12 baskets. And I was thinking that it strikes me that whatever blessing God provides, it takes care of the immediate need, but it also goes further into future needs. And Jesus was a blessing and a gift that God gave us at the time he was alive, but even now 2,000 years later, we're still that blessing wow. and coming to heaven if we're going to be doing that for all eternity.
Yeah.
So, and you can take that as grandiose as that idea,
yeah.
or even as minuscule as I'm going to provide you food and you're going to have me for plenty other meals in the future, or you're going to have me even when you're afraid and you're in the middle of some immense storm and you're going to need courage and encouragement from me. My example, I'll be here for you. So I think of blessings that I've received from people I've had in my life, like relationships I've had, and now in the future, years from now, there's still going to be blessings. So you can take it in physical, relational, monetary,
Excellent observation, because when we get into Jesus being the bread of life and then him wanting a greater commitment from those who are following him, that's where he's getting. That's where he's going. And friends, God always wants us to commit more and more. You can always commit more to God today than you did yesterday. If not, why not?